Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the third session of a series on the issues on the issue of atheism. I have addressed in the first session the historical background, gave some brief history on atheism, how it evolved, how it was throughout the history of mankind, and the fact that atheism has never been the issue of mainstream people. Nevertheless, it's an issue that did exist every now and then in the minds of philosophers, and at some point of time in the minds of many people, like when the state in the Soviet Union and in the old socialist countries, they did adopt atheism as being part of their curricula, part of their lifestyle. I also addressed in the second session of this series the various methods which are used to address the issue of eternality of matter, or the eternality of God, or the non-eternality of matter for that matter. And there were three different approaches. One is the rational approach, which is the approach that depends on the reason. How does brain reason things? The second approach is the scientific approach, and then the logical approach. I did address briefly the rational approach, especially how it was perceived by Karl Marx, and I said I will come back to it later on the essence of this issue. Now, I would like to speak a little bit on the issue of the scientific and the logical approach. The scientific approach, the scientific method in general, is a method that deals with observation of matter and the change and the formation of matter. Scientific method does not really in reality deal with the nature of issues, with the nature, with the reality of issues. It does deal with observation, like what is my observation on the various changes and variables that take place in the in all types of matter. And this is how people have taken the scientific method in the during the Middle Ages in order to convert iron into steel, in order to convert all types of matter like oil and gas and other matters into plastic, into medical forms. So the science is deals with subjugating the existing matter into various conditions in order to perceive or to collect or to arrive at a new form of matter. That's what the scientific method is about. However, many people, they look at the scientific observation. They say, let's see some observation on the life of species, like what Darwin has done. Let's make some observations on the laws of gravity, as Newton has done. Let's make some observation on the laws of relativity, as Einstein has done. And from these laws, we can deduce some facts about the universe. So that is the essence of the what is called the scientific approach. And in by and large, most of the people who have dealt with this issue, especially from the scientific perspective, they come to the conclusion that science is unable to prove that there is a beginning for universe. Now, obviously, this is not something strange or surprising, because if the beginning of universe has occurred, and it did occur at a time which is beyond the ability of scientific instruments to perceive, of course it will not be subject to scientific method at all, because it is beyond the perception of any tools or instruments. And today, whenever our instruments, they gather and collect information which shed some light or some information on a certain age period, let's say 1 trillion years ago, then with the observation and with experimentation and with all types of analysis, we come to a certain conclusion about the nature of matter at that time. But anything that existed before that, it will be beyond what is called the scientific instrumentation. So scientific instrumentation, most of the time they come to the conclusion that it is beyond the limit of science to prove or disprove the existence of God, because they are talking about something that is beyond the perception of their instrumentation, which is very natural. So the scientific method does lack this property, that it is unable, there is a limitation to what science can measure or cannot measure, or can see or what cannot see. Science always deal with whatever is tangible, sensible, and perceivable. If it's not perceivable, it's not sensible, it's not tangible, it is not subject to scientific or human instrumentation, then it's beyond the so-called the scientific methodology or the scientific conclusions. So science comes at a point saying, I am unable to make a decisive conclusion. That is not to say that there is no way we can make a conclusion about the reality of things and the reality of matter, because yet we have other method called the rational method, and we still have the logic, if logic can work as well. So science stands in this respect unable to come to a final conclusion. This is one thing. There is a second point, that in general, science has always dealt with, has always kept a portion or of uncertainty in the conclusions that science makes. Science has never claimed that all scientific observations and conclusions are essentially or eventually facts. They always come with the probabilistic things, and that's why the whole theory of probability is an integral part of science. So science is an uncertain method for realizing the nature of matter, or reshaping or forming the matter into different forms. So it's an uncertain method. But the existence of God, or the eternality of God and the non-eternality of matter, must be established in a certain manner. So certainty is required in the issue of atheism or anti-atheism. Certainty is required. You cannot believe in God 99%. I can say, oh, God exists with a probability of 99%, or matter is most probably is eternal. 99.999, it's eternal. You can't do that. This is in religions, in things that have to do with eternality and atheism, things have to be certain. So science as a method is a method about uncertainty. It's the method that deals with uncertainty. Even when people, they make the space shuttles and they make airplanes, they always come to the conclusion that the space shuttle will land on the moon and at a certain time with a certain probability. Now, of course, that probability is high, but it's never called 100%. That is the nature of science. So science, by and large, and as a fact, and as a declaration by scientists, I have not seen a scientist, physicist, or biologist, or chemist who come to a conclusion, to a new product, or a new discovery, or a new theory, who says this is 100% solid fact. It's always there is always an element of probability in that. Therefore, the scientific method will not be the appropriate method to prove or disprove the existence of God or the non-existence of God. In fact, the scientific method and the scientists, real scientists, they always come to the conclusion that science will not have a final or definite proof. Although, to say the truth, there are many people in because of their religiousness, because their beliefs, they come to some scientific findings and they correlate these scientific findings to something in the Bible or in the Quran or in the Talmud, and then they say, oh, because this issue has been written or stated in the a holy script and scientists have found it as a fact, therefore the script must be correct. Well, in reality, the atheist can come easily and argue against that, saying that, well, because science was able to arrive at this conclusion, who says that those who have written the script did not have enough knowledge and science about it? Well, it's our claim that the prophet, such and such a prophet, does not have knowledge, but it remains a claim as far as atheists are concerned. So the fact that it can be arrived at by people through scientific method and through science, it means it could have been arrived at many, many ages or years earlier. So that's an argument where people can argue about day and night and will not come to a conclusion, and that defies the whole essence of the discussion. The discussion of eternality must come to a conclusion. You cannot leave people without conclusion. People throughout the entire history of mankind have never been left without a conclusion about the existence of God. Now, with the introduction of science and the scientific method, people are shedding doubts and putting this into uncertainty. Therefore, we are saying that the scientific method is a method of uncertainty, and therefore it cannot be used decisively for certain methods. By the same token, I will speak briefly on the logic. Logic, by the way, it is well known among the philosophers. Logic is the daily rationale of the lazy people. It is, instead of going behind scientific evidences for scientists or behind rational information in order to arrive at conclusions and find the real conclusions, we will just deduce conclusions from established facts or things which we think they are facts. So instead of me saying, oh, what type of cause, for example, that has led to the crash of a certain airplane in a jungle, the real way of doing that is to go to the jungle and collect the pieces and get information on that crash and find the conclusion. A philosopher with logic, he would say, well, the plane was flying up high and the weather up high in the sky was bad. In the past, we know that planes have crashed because of bad weather. Therefore, this plane must have crashed because of bad weather. Easy, simple. While I am sitting down, I make my conclusion without even having the need to go to the field and find data. To find the data and to find the reality and to pass information, my previous information on destruction of things, how things get bad and get destroyed and engines get damaged, when I collect these pieces and use my previous information on faults and defects and how they crash, then I can come to the conclusion, what is the real cause of the crash? It could be a human error, it could be a defect in the engine, it could be a bird that was flying that hit the plane, it could be an object flying then, it could be a rocket that shut the plane down, it could be a weather, it could be all types of reasons. But in order to find the conclusion, I have to look and investigate the evidences. Logic defies the knowledge of evidences, defies the rationale of the use of evidences. That's why the Greek philosophers in the past, each philosopher would come right after the next one, defies everything the previous one has said and come up with the new ideas, with the new conclusions from the same premises. Same premises, you come up with two, with multiple conclusions. Therefore, logic as a method is absolutely unacceptable to prove or disprove realities. Logic can be used in order to come to approximation of what the reality is, so that you allow your rationale now to limit the scope of what I will be thinking about. It can be useful there. It can be useful for building images in the brain about the future of the world, if you will, like the perfect city of Plato. All of this can be done through logic, but realities cannot be established by logic. That is my conclusion of this third session, and we'll be continuing this series in the future to go back to the rational method, which we believe that the only way to establish the reality of things, whether things are eternal or not, is it through the rational way, the correct rational way, which is not what Marx has talked about. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.